Sporty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to Croatian tennis player Marin Cilic. He advanced to his first Wimbledon final Friday with a four-set victory over American Sam Querrey. The final score from Wimbledon center court, 6-7, 6-4, 7-6, and 7-5. The 28-year-old Cilic, the 2014 U.S. Open champion, will play the winner of Friday's second semifinal between seven-time champion Roger Federer of Switzerland and Tomas Berdych of the Czech Republic. The women's singles final is Saturday at Wimbledon. Venus Williams of the USA, vying for her sixth Wimbledon title, will take on Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza, a 2015 Wimbledon finalist and the 2016 French Open champion. The 37-year-old Williams is one victory away from becoming the oldest female champion in Wimbledon history. Talk to us, Venus!
I feel very focused still. There's still a lot to be done, and I have one more match that I'd like to be the winner of, and I have to go out there and take it and play well, but I like to take courage in the fact that I've been playing well this tournament and this year, and that all these moments have led to this.
Venus Williams reached her ninth Wimbledon singles final with a 6-4, 6-2 victory over local favorite Johanna Konta of Britain. For her part, Garbiñe Muguruza advanced to Saturday's final with a 6-1, 6-1 win over Slovakia's Magdalena Rybarikova. Garbiñe lost to Venus's younger sister, Serena, in the 2015 Wimbledon women's singles final. The 23-year-old Spaniard says she would love to win her first Wimbledon championship.
You know, all the great champions has won this tournament, and I always stare at the wall where all the names are of the previous winners, and there is a lot, actually, that are repetitive, but I don't know. I would like to see my name there, hopefully. And I don't really think a lot. You know, I'm here, I have another chance, and I'm trying to be simple, and that's it.
That Spanish tennis player, Garbiñe Muguruza, who will play American Venus Williams in Saturday's women's final at Wimbledon.
I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup,
live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us now with a very spicy package of African sports news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the much-anticipated IAAF World Under-18 Championships, which got underway in Nairobi on Wednesday. More than 1,400 athletes from 130 countries are participating in the championship, which ends on Sunday. The IAAF president, Sebastian Coe, was impressed with the work done so far by the Kenyans as he paid glowing tribute to the LOC for a fantastic preparations.
I'm very encouraged by what I've seen. We will clearly want to sit down with the local organising committee at the end of the championships. I will listen to what our technical delegates have. This was important to us. It was important that we absorb everything we possibly can.
He also shares his thoughts on those athletes who boycotted the Kenyan Championships, citing security concerns.
Our responsibility was to make sure these were a great championships. We still have 130 countries here. There's no world championship at youth level or junior level anywhere in the world that has that many countries competing.
In basketball news, Egypt, Mali, Algeria and Mozambique all opened their FIBA Under-16 African Championship 2017 campaign with convincing wins on Thursday at the Phoenix Gymnasium in Mauritius. Reigning champions Egypt recorded the day's largest win, trouncing Madagascar 117-63. Mali, the runners-up of the 2015 edition, followed suit. The West Africans sealed a 61-40 triumph over Tunisia. In the second encounter of the day, Algeria, who claimed a third-place finish 2 years ago, had no troubles to overcome Rwanda 61-39. Meanwhile, host Mauritius had a tough continental debut as Alexandra Wong and teammates suffered a resounding 94-28 defeat to Mozambique. And now to badminton. After several months of intensive preparation, all is now set for the third edition of the Lagos International Badminton Classics, with Nigeria leading 10 other countries to the annual event. The other participating countries are Israel, India, Italy, Egypt, Uganda, Cameroon, Ghana, Republic of Benin, Sri Lanka and Portugal. However, the high point of the tournament is the increase in the total prize money from $15,000 to $20,000, which is the biggest on the continent. The event will hold from the 26th to the 29th of July in Lagos. And on to football news. One of Ghana's biggest football clubs, Asante Kotoko, was involved in an accident that claimed the life of one person on their delegation, leaving several players and officials needing hospital treatment. The bus carrying the Kumasi-based club were returning home from a Ghana Premier League game against Inter Alias in Accra when their bus struck a stationary vehicle. Some players and officials recount how the accident occurred.
I was on the third seat. Our assistant coach, Gordon Ablode, was shouting on top of his voice, crying for help. That was when I realized that we had an accident. What I saw It was like the car that led to that accident had parked without any sign, without any triangle indicating that there was a fault or something.
And we came quickly with the help of the police. We came there and met one of our officers dead on the floor, and the driver in very critical condition. For almost 2 hours, we couldn't remove him from the vehicle. Our bloody was also in a very critical state. 1.5 hours, we couldn't also move him out of the bus.
And now to South Africa, where one of the most experienced Bafana players, Lelo Gunolo Maselasa, may not be selected for this weekend's African Nations Championship qualifier against Botswana. This is because Maselasa has been released from his contract with his club in Greece and is unattached at the moment. While only players playing the trade in the domestic leagues are eligible for the Chan tournament, Bafana coach Todd Baxter is faced with a dilemma. He's not sure whether he can select one of his most experienced players.
We thought he was non-selectable because he was a foreign player. Because he's now out of contract, in theory, he's not a foreign player. And we got the okay for him. Now we want confirmation of that okay before we say that he's a definite member of the squad. But we see him definitely as being a good one to get to help the squad if he's available. So therefore he's been selected, we've got an okay, but not in writing and not as 100% as we wanted.
From South Africa to East Africa, where Wayne Rooney was the centre of attraction on Thursday night in Tanzania, as the former England captain scored a spectacular goal in his first appearance back in an Everton shirt against Kenya's Gor Mahia. Rooney rejoined his boyhood club from Manchester United last week on a free transfer after 13 years at Old Trafford. Everton are touring East Africa as part of their preparations for the upcoming Premier League season after signing a deal with Kenyan betting firm SportPesa to become the club's new shirt sponsor. After the match, Rooney said he was delighted to be in Tanzania.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited by the signings that the club have made, and I think the club's moving forward, and I think this football club deserves to, we should be winning trophies. I think the last trophy was 95, and I think we're taking huge steps to getting involved and trying to win some of them trophies.
Egyptian football club Al Ahly's head coach, Houssam El Badri, has been suspended for one match by the Confederation of African Football after boycotting a press conference over the presence of the Qatari-owned BN Sports channel. Egypt and several of its allies cut diplomatic ties with Qatar last month, accusing it of supporting extremism. The Egyptian FA and its respective clubs then decided to boycott BN Sport as a result. On June the 20th, ahead of Al Ahly's CAF Champions League match against Wydad Casablanca of Morocco, Al Badri walked out of a press conference due to a BN Sports microphone being in the room. Elsewhere, Leicester City's Algerian star Riyad Mahrez is a transfer target for Serie A giant Roma. Mahrez has been on Leicester City's books since signing from Le Havre in 2014 and helped Leicester City claim an unlikely Premier League triumph in 2015-2016 season, earning the PFA Player of the Year prize in the process. That's the latest roundup from the world of sports on the African continent. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. Is back to you, Sonny, in Washington.
Thanks, Samson. I enjoyed your very spicy roundup of sports on the African continent. Now let's go to the Midwestern U.S. city of Silvis, Illinois, where it's a tight battle at the top of the leaderboard after the first round of the John Deere Classic Golf Tournament. Reporter George McNeely tells us more from the Deer Run course in Illinois.
There's a two-way tie atop the leaderboard here at TPC Deer Run. A couple of guys who grew up in Georgia, Charles Howell III and Ali Snyderjans, both carded 8 under par 63s. Howell birdied 5 of his first 9 holes, Snyderjans 3 of his first 5.
I haven't had a great start really all year on the first round. I've had some decent first rounds and good Fridays, but this is the first really good round I've had on Thursday, so it's nice to get off to a good start and hopefully keep it going and keep the momentum going throughout the week.
2012 John Deere Classic champion Zach Johnson, Rory Sabatini, and Patrick Rogers kept themselves within striking distance, all finishing the Deer Run layout 6 under par 65, 2 shots behind Snyderjans and Howell III.
Especially knowing here that the winning score is going to be around, say, 20-ish under, and how good guys are. You know, this is just the morning of the first day. So I was glad I took advantage of it, but there's still plenty of golf ahead. And, you know, as good as the conditions have been in the morning, I'm quite sure you'll see some low scores.
From the John Deere Classic, George McNeely, Silvis, Illinois.
The Voice
VOA.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Here in the United States, the CONCACAF Gold Cup football tournament continues later Friday night with the final Group A matches in the southwestern state of Texas. Costa Rica will play French Guiana, and that will be followed by a match between Canada and Honduras. Both games will be played at Toyota Stadium, the home of Major League Soccer's FC Dallas club. Canada and Costa Rica top the group with 4 points each from two matches. Honduras has 3 points, and French Guiana has no points. On Saturday, the Gold Cup Regional Championship Tournament will feature the final Group B matches in Cleveland, Ohio. Panama will play Martinique, and that will be followed by a game between the USA and Nicaragua. The USA and Panama top this group with 4 points each from two matches, followed by Martinique with 3 points and Nicaragua with no points. With Group A action wrapping up later Friday night, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Canada's Alphonso Davies, who plays for Major League Soccer's Vancouver's Whitecaps club. Alphonso is only 16 years old, and he was born in Ghana. Alphonso scored 2 goals on July 7th when Canada beat French Guiana 4-2 to become the youngest player to score for Canada's men's national team, as well as the youngest to score at the Gold Cup. Alphonso scored another goal against Costa Rica July 11th, and he currently leads all scorers at the Gold Cup with 3 goals. 16-year-old Alphonso Davies, a player to watch at the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy Friday, Andrew.
Very happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
You were banging in the goals at 16, right?
No, I was focused on my studies in school, and that's why I'm here today and not on the soccer pitch. And instead, I'm in Studio 22.
Well, now that you're here in Studio 22, what's trending out there, Andrew?
Well, still talking about Wimbledon, Marin Cilic, the winner of the first men's semifinals, beating American Sam Querrey in 4 very tight sets. I think 3 of the sets went to 7 games that he had to win them, went to tiebreaks or won it by 7-5. But those 4 tight sets, Marin Cilic winning to get to his first Wimbledon final ever. It's his second Grand Slam tournament final. He got to the 2014 U.S. Open, where he won that tournament. So he's looking to get another title around his hands, in his grasp there on the courts of Wimbledon.
Querrey, of course, coming off a 5-set upset victory over Novak Djokovic. Maybe the gas sort of left his tank, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that was and not just the 1 5-setter. It was 3 5-set matches that he played in the lead-up to this one. So there was some speculation that he maybe didn't have the wherewithal and the energy to make it happen, but played very well. And as we've talked about, big news for American tennis, American men's tennis, because this is the first time in 8 years that an American man has made it to the semifinals of a major tournament. So hopefully more to come from Sam Querrey and the other American men going forward. Now, Marin Cilic is going to face off against either Roger Federer or Tomas Berdych. They're playing currently, facing off today. Federer, of course, going for his 8th Wimbledon title. Berdych hoping to get back to the finals at Wimbledon for the first time since 2010. when he got to the finals in that year and lost to Rafael Nadal when Nadal captured his second Wimbledon title. So lots of excitement on that side as well. We'll be watching that match. But as much as there was talk before the tournament and even the early stages about the young players, some of this new generation, the next generation, they call them, coming up and maybe doing well, here's the final four, the semifinal matchups. You have Berdych and Federer. Berdych is 31. Federer is 35. And then you have Query and Cilic. Cilic, 28, and Query, 29. So as far as tennis age, pretty advanced. We're not seeing a lot of those young guns, the 21, 22-year-olds that we've seen in previous years. So it shows that this generation still has a solid grasp on tennis on the men's side. And, of course, on the women's side, 37-year-old Venus Williams looking to become the oldest woman ever to win a major tournament.
And so it's possible we could see Venus and maybe Federer holding the trophy at the end of this Wimbledon, two of the oldest players on the tour.
I think we could call that a throwback. I think there have been years in the past when they've won, I believe, in the same year, but not in the past 10 years or so, I think.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked about British tennis, of course. Andy Murray broke the streak, 70-some-odd years that a British man hadn't won Wimbledon, and Joanna Konta trying to do that on the women's side, unfortunately failing to do so, falling to Venus Williams. But both of them making some news off of the court. Joanna Konta, after she got into the semifinals, took a selfie that went viral in the UK. She took a selfie with a man who is a Chelsea pensioner. Now, what this is it's a resident of the Royal Hospital Chelsea, which is a retirement home for former British soldiers. And these elderly men and women dress up in these very spiffy red uniforms, and they get to do all kinds of things around London and the UK, including go to Wimbledon. And so on the way off the court, Joanna Konta stopped with a Chelsea pensioner and took a selfie with him. And this gentleman, you could see he was thrilled to get that picture, and that picture, after he posted it, went viral around the UK. So that was a really nice moment. And another viral moment from Andy Murray after his loss, talking about Sam Querrey in the press room. One of the reporters asked him, well, this is the first American player to get to a major semifinals in 8 years. And Andy Murray cuts him off immediately and says, male player. And so the reporter corrects himself. He says, of course, there have been many American female players who have made it to the semifinals, most notably Serena and Venus in the past 8 years. But I saw a clip, actually. Serena did an interview on ESPN, the sports network here in the U.S., and she said that Andy Murray has been a great advocate for women, not just in tennis, but women's sports in general, a great feminist. So Serena had high praise for him for correcting that reporter, but that moment went a little viral as well.
Andrew, we had trash talk earlier this week in Los Angeles and Toronto, and I understand there's been more trash talk in another city.
Yes, the press tour moves on to Brooklyn for Mayweather-McGregor. This one was a little interesting. The men were about 2 hours late, so a lot of people griping about that on social media. Quite a spectacle there at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, a long red carpet that they walked down. And this fashion choice is quite interesting for Conor McGregor. He showed up for the first two press availabilities in suits. He showed up to this one shirtless, wearing a long white mink coat. Of course, it was very hot in New York yesterday and very steamy, so that was an interesting choice on his part. He said he bought it on Fifth Avenue that day, Fifth Avenue being the big fashion street in New York. Lots of cheering for McGregor and boos for Mayweather, so we're seeing a lot of that sentiment reflected on social media. And the trash talk continues. Mayweather, after allegations levied against him that he didn't have any money, he made it rain over McGregor. He put a lot of money in his hand and kind of threw it all over McGregor. But some darker undertones, too. People saying that some of the language that McGregor's been using has been some racially tinged statements, calling Floyd Mayweather boy, for instance, saying that that might be a racial statement. But I'm sure it's all part of the hype. And when they move on to London, I think it's going to even more crazy than it already has been, if it can even get that way.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny. You too.
And that wraps up the July 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In 2014, although no one knew it at the time, ISIS had reached its high point. In June of that year, said Special Presidential Envoy for the Global Coalition to Counter ISIS, Brett McGurk, Mosul, a city of nearly 2 million people, fell to ISIS, and its leader, Abu Bakr Baghdadi, declared a caliphate from the Grand Mosque of al-Nuri in Mosul's Old City. Supremely confident after a series of victories, and with foreign fighters streaming in from all over the world to join the group, ISIS began to march towards Baghdad. By the end of 2014, ISIS controlled territory the size of Lebanon, spanning across Iraq and Syria, said Special Envoy McGurk, with millions of people, entire cities, dual capitals in Raqqa and Mosul, generating revenue through oil and gas, taxes, antiquities trade, hostage-taking of more than $1 billion per year. Led by the United States, nations formed a global coalition to counter ISIS in a military offensive that began with a series of airstrikes in September 2014. The coalition has destroyed ISIS in its safe havens, denied its ability to recruit, move foreign fighters, move funds, and spread false propaganda over the internet and social media. Today, supported by the coalition, local forces have reclaimed about 70% of populated territory that ISIS once held in Iraq, allowing for more than 1.9 million people to return to areas liberated from ISIS. It has rolled back ISIS from 51% of the territory it previously controlled in Syria. As we pressure ISIS, we are proving their so-called caliphate is nothing more than a fraud. Our coalition is on a fixed course, said Special Envoy McGurk, with a sound and proven strategy committed to the total destruction of ISIS, the destruction of the physical caliphate, while in parallel preparing for the day after.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it. VOA.
To our audience on VOA's FM in Accra, Ghana. We'll be off the air for 3 days of July 20th, 21st, and 22nd to do necessary technical repairs. We will resume our broadcast on July 23rd. However, you can still listen to VOA's radio programming on our shortwaves, 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also online at voanews.com. Your friends at VOA regret the temporary loss of our FM broadcast on those days.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.